When I was in Peace Corps training, there was a girl, a woman, young woman. We were all young at the time. And she was just so cheerful. She was always cheerful. She was always happy. We would be conjugating French verbs for an hour and a half a day, and she was smiling. We would be conjugating and coming up with Arabic sentences for 4.5 hours a day, and she was happy. We would be eating the cafeteria food at Brown University in the summer in Providence with mosquitoes the size of bats, and she would still be happy. We hated her. That positive attitude, that relentless positive attitude, seemed like a form of denial. And it all came home when she was telling a story where we had been in country for a year, and she was coming back in her little village, and she tripped and she fell in an open sewer. And she got out of the sewer, she got back to her home, and the water had been turned off. And she said, "This is going to make such a great story." Would not have been my reaction immediately. We thought that was a form of denial of what goes on in life, because we all do fall in physical or emotional sewers and sloughs from time to time. You all recognize the reference from Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress that talks about how even the devout, in that case Christians, could fall into despair and guilt and have a sense of hell. Now, I'm always curious that, you know, the poet wrote about the grandeur of the dooms that we have imagined for the mighty dead, all lovely tales that we have heard or read, an endless fountain of immortal drink pouring unto us from heaven's brink. The other side of that is, even if you don't believe in the mighty dooms, an awful lot of people believe in the mighty hells that may await you, the hell in this world of guilt, of despair, of feeling lost and hopeless. And I guess the reason that people, or that song from the 60s, "I swear there ain't no heaven and I pray there ain't no hell," is that we don't necessarily appreciate heaven when we experience it. It's not news when we feel good. It's news when we feel bad. And so we recognize the hells. We recognize the pain. We recognize the suffering. And that seems abnormal. And for us, that's a blessing that feels abnormal. That is not our normal condition. But we often get frightened when we get frightened, when we feel a sense of despair, a sense of hopelessness, a sense that, as late great Chick Hearn said, the rub of the green is not going with us and the ball has stopped bouncing in our favor. If you live long enough, bad things happen. The nature of bubbles, whether they are emotional bubbles or whether they are dot-com or financial bubbles or real estate bubbles, the nature of bubbles is to burst. The nature of hearts is to break. And when they are bursting and when they are breaking, I know it seems that they can never return. They will never return. And we can fall into a sense of hopelessness. Part of the wisdom of the religious tradition is that it recognizes the seasons of our hearts and our spirits as much as it recognizes the seasons in the sky. It understands that there is winter, and that is followed by spring, that is followed by summer, that is followed by fall, and winter once again. And those seasons can turn very fast in our lives, and they can turn out of order. But religion recognizes these journeys that our souls take. They recognize in Judaism that you go from Rosh Hashanah, the celebration of the new year, to Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement and of fasting. In Christianity, you go from Ash Wednesday through Lent and Good Friday and finally to the joy of Easter. in Shia Islam, you go from Maulud, the birthday of the Prophet, to Ashura, the 10 days of repentance. There's a recognition that our moods, our lives, our attitudes are not even and stable. As our late and great Unitarian Universalist poet laureate Rick Masson talked about, without the dark there is no light. If nothing's wrong, then nothing's right. And so let it be a dance. Understand that we turn by seasons. We look at the world around us today, as Will acknowledged in his opening, and we see that this is a time of pain. There is pain and fear and anxiety all around. And when we are mired in it, it's hard to believe in the sunrise. In fact, when we are mired in it, it's hard to believe that the sun was ever out. As I tour human communities and talk to people and get a sense of the amount of fear and anxiety, I found something really strange. It is the 1st of March, and people don't remember November. They don't remember election night and what that felt like. And for many, the joy, the hope, the celebration, the sense of a new beginning, not for everyone, but for many, and certainly in the party that we had here to watch the election results, and that joy seems to have been forgotten and sickled o'er with the gloom, adumbrated by the sense of what's going on now, and we can't remember the past. Now, it goes both ways. November seems a far time in the past, a night of great celebration, and a time of some heartbreak. At the same time with the passage of Proposition 8 that I had fought hard against and had campaigned for same-sex marriage for close to 35 years. There was heartbreak and there was joy all at the same time for me. There was joy and celebration, and now 3 months later, people don't believe in the sunrise anymore. And the core of my message, which I'm cutting a little bit short today because of everything else, but the core of my message is the sun also rises. That we are emotionally labile and reactive to the world, and sometimes it is completely appropriate. It's not something to fear. When I was a student in Vienna and I studied with Viktor Frankl, he had a technique that he called paradoxical intent, which is based really on the idea that one of the biggest fears we have is fear. And that he used to tell people who were afraid, embrace it. Open yourself up to feel what you feel. We understand that it's real, but you're dealing with two problems. One is the problem that's causing the fear, and the other is the fear of the fear. The fear that the day will not return, that the light will not return, that life will not return. Embrace it. Go into it. Don't spend your time pushing it away and denying it, but invite it in, and it will lose its fangs. And as somebody who has suffered, if not technical phobias, at least some good, healthy, neurotic aversions, I can tell you that it works. That it works to invite the anxiety in. And not to say, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. Everybody gets $5 if you don't think of elephants for the next 5 minutes. I don't have to pay a thing. You're doomed. But if you're afraid of elephants, invite them in. Make a date to think about elephants for an hour, because by the third day, you'll be so tired of elephants, they won't frighten you anymore. They'll bore you. Denial is not an effective way of dealing with everything that's going on in our world. If we are insensitive to the pain out there, if we're insensitive to the anxiety that people are feeling about their 401ks, their retirement, being upside down in their houses and so forth. And I want to remind you, everybody who ever bought a new car is upside down in that car the moment you drive off the lot. This is one of the strangest little metaphors that people are using right now, because if you don't have to sell, you haven't made money and you haven't lost money. But there is pain. There is fear. We are in for some difficult fiscal times, and that means difficult emotional times. We don't welcome it, but we understand the nature of bubbles is to burst. We understand that cycles come. We understand that when it is dark, it's hard to believe in the light. And when it is light, it's hard to believe in the cooling comforts of night. People who have been in extremis always will say, I just couldn't imagine getting out. There are people who look at our society and our economy, and I'll tell you the problem with those pundits, being one of them. For newspapers, I'm a pundit here, I'm John, is pundits extrapolate what's going on, and it's why we are almost always wrong, because things don't proceed forever in a straight line, either up or down. They change, and the nature of life is change, and so we ride those cycles. And we know that on that hot day that we are mopping our brows and say, I'll never complain when it's cold again, that we will complain when it's cold again. And in that cold day when we are shivering and we'll say, I'll never complain when it's hot again, the world will turn and warmth will return and we will complain. We are on a great roller coaster ride, and that's as it should be. It's painful sometimes, it's frightening sometimes, it's exhilarating often. However, if you feel physically or emotionally, financially, like you are in an open sewer, and you are singing, there are two things wrong. One of them is that you're in an open sewer. Get out. The other is you're singing. Stop it. Get out, clean yourself up, and help some other people out of the sewer. That's our job. That's our job. When you are in the Slough of Despond, when I am in the Slough of Despond, don't struggle against the quicksand. Float and hope. And reach out to be helped and reach in to help. We will all visit those places in our lifetimes, but know that we are not alone in our anxieties. We are not alone in our fears. We are not alone in our situations. We are together and we face things at different times, but we face them together as people. And we understand, and by together I don't mean simply this church, and I don't mean simply Unitarian Universalists or Americans. I'm saying this is our human responsibility one to another, to be there, not simply to witness, but being there is part of it, but also to reach in and to help out. Life is a shared experience on a rapidly rotating world of light, of dark, of hope and despair. And the world turns and light returns, and our spirits will be buoyed, and we can help one another chant and sing the sunrise. Last week we sang a hymn that had a line in it to help us to go from greed to giving, from greed to giving, from arrogance and condescension to empathy and helpfulness. These are the directions that we hope to turn towards each other in an embrace of hands and an embrace of heart.